Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm here with Blog Talk. Thank you for being here. You can see the topic of this of the show, and hey, I guess this is where it gets real interesting, right? Dialogue, even if you disagree. Christ is the truth. Christianity as an institution is a lie. Is a lie. Now, I had a white guy, Elder Lawyer, I need you to bring your video in back for me real quick. I had a white guy, so-called European, because understand, we accept all nations. All right. And then because a lot of what we teach cannot be denied, it's prophetic. So we'll have black, we have white women, white men who would come in and be offended, not because there's no truth on this channel, but they'll say ignorant, they'll make ignorant comments like, it seems like it always come back to race. This is what I'm hearing with white people that make comments. Not all, but very few. I will get one or two of them at least what? At least three times a year. But I'm sure other white people who aren't commenting thinks that. It always come back to race. Folks, it has always been about race. Wake up. Nation against nation. What is that? What did Christ talk about? When you have two ruling bloodlines and one earth, there will be a conflict. Christ is coming to bring conflict. He's coming to take down. Christ is coming to take down the powers of this world to set up his kingdom. That's racial. And I think it's disingenuous and disrespectful for someone of another persuasion to come in and make a comment and think that we can talk about what's going on the earth and exclude race. When race plays a key component in every part of our existence, be it black or white. If you work somewhere, you had to fill out your ethnicity on the job application. And not once did you look at the application and the guy you're about to be interviewed by and say, well, why is this about race? I can do a job. Why is there race on the application? It's only when we're speaking, and I really believe to some, they believe that eventually if we continue to talk about race, that there will be some level of vengeance from the people who are oppressed. That's the paranoia that comes with how media do what? Scare the population of whites into believing that blacks are thinking payback. And they do that to do what? To stop the conversation. We're not talking race because we hate another race. We're talking race because that is what we lost, our identity. And Christ said he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's a blessing to be able to, what? Stake claim to our national origin without you feeling threatened by it. The Most High we know. And thank the Most High that as an Israelite, I know that I'm not supposed to blame white people for what happened to me. My foreparents sinned, and now we have to suffer the curse until deliverance. And if we walk in the commandments of the Most High, we'll be protected. There would be no white rulership if it wasn't for the disobedience of Israelites who went away from the law, statutes, and commandments of God The same people who came out of Egypt, that's not the white man's fault. People got to stop being paranoid and triggered by the media because they are fermenting a racial war because they don't want people who believe in Christ to come together. I'm sorry. But here it is. If you have any issues, whatever the case is, let's open up the lines. Yolanda, you're first. 217.
Shalom.
Hey, Yolanda.
Can you hear me? Hi, Shalom. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. The floor is yours.
Awesome. Okay, I just turned down my TV so that there was no interruption, so I couldn't hear you. It's you. Oh, my gosh. It's you. I want to thank you. First of all, I just want to say this really quick. So when I started waking up to the truth back in like 2013-14, there were very, 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 very few people on YouTube speaking anything about the truth at all. So I was trying to figure out who Caesar Borgia was. I, with my heart and soul, thought he was Christ. And I, when I closed my eyes to pray, that's who I prayed to. So I'm trying my best to figure out, you know, who is, you know, somebody said to me, well, what did Christ look like? And I'm like, you know, that's a good question. So I started researching, started going through the scriptures, and I couldn't find it. And I started going through YouTube, and I found you. And I just want to say thank you. You were sitting with a white shirt, and you had like a white wrap around your head, and you were sitting with another guy, and this was like many years ago, but you were explaining who Caesar Borgia was. So I just want to thank you, first of all, for that. Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much because you really helped open my eyes to the truth, you know, to who Caesar Borgia actually is. But I just wanted to make a comment.
Okay, for those who's listening real quick, Yolanda, and don't know Caesar Borgia, you should if you've been following our channel. That's the second son of Alexander VI, Pope of Rome, okay? He's the white man whose image was used by the Vatican to portray the image of Jesus Christ to the New World and abroad. That's an actual man that you see that plays in the Passion of Christ. That was an actual image of a criminal from the Vatican. And when you read a book called Triptych of Poisoners, there's a picture of Caesar Borgia there, okay, by Jean Plady, called Triptych of Poisoners. He was able to poison all the enemies of his father so that his father could stay in power. That's where you get the underlying story of the Godfather from, the Borgia family. That's the image of the white man, the Triptych of Poisoners, who poisoned his father's enemies for power. That's the image that's used for the modern day Christian Jesus Christ. And Christ, I hope y'all don't get upset with this, Christ was a black man, just as dark as I am, okay? He wasn't an Arab or Middle Eastern. The disciples who made the first mission for Christ's teachings were all black. Acts 13 tell you that they were Niger, N-I-G-E-R. It's not racist, it's the truth. The Romans were pagans. So I just wanted to clarify that, sister, for the brothers and sisters, because when you mention a name, I have to give the historical background on it. But go on.
I appreciate that. And that at that point, I still did not know what Christ looked like. So I couldn't find a description in the Bible, so I started looking and praying. I was up all night just going through my Bible, and I was walking down my hallway the next morning, and there was a voice in my ear that said, I'm black. And I'm like,
oh, you kidding
me?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I said, you're black? What? So anyway, I just started reading, and I finally found Revelation chapter, you know, 1:1, and then I just read that, and then I got an understanding. But, yeah, to go from, you know, being completely brainwashed with Caesar Borgia, and then to find out Christ is a black man with dark skin and woolly hair,
yeah,
was just, I mean, I was so devastated. And that, I mean, I was happy, but I was extremely devastated because I had been lied to for so many years in the Christian church. So that right there is just the biggest piece of poison that they could have ever did. And it's so damaging to the point that it's unbelievable how they pulled all this over. I mean, it's just very unbelievable. So I just wanted to say that to you, and I wanted to say thank you. And I was just actually, you came up on my recommended. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's him. You know, so I just subscribed. So I'm a new subscriber. But I just want to say thank you. But I also want to mention one other thing, and that is I'm hoping that someone from Christianity or from the Christian church can call in and please answer some questions, because I myself, when I was, you know, started waking up to the truth, I was in church. So I went to the pastor and I said, you know, it was a very diverse church, huge church, you know, with all these different pastors. I mean, and I said to him, I said, what does Christ look like? And he said, I'll get back with you on that. I said, well, what scripture can I read to find out, you know? And then he just stared at me. And I said, one other thing. I said, when do you celebrate, you know, we keep the Ten Commandments, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, so how do I celebrate the Sabbath? And he had no answer. And that's
good
very,
question.
Very hurtful. It was so hurtful. And I had to do all this research on my own to try to figure out all these things. And it, you know, finally, like I said, that was back in 2013. Well, no. Yeah, that's 2013-14 when that happened. But, you know, after all these years, and it's just like, and then another thing that happened real quick is that someone outside the church told me after, and at this time I was living with the guy, and someone outside of the church said, you know, fornicators don't inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm like, what's a fornicator? Now I'm in church all these years. This subject never came up. This sermon was never preached. And they said, that's a person that is having sex and is not married, you know, is not. And I said, what? So I immediately, this was actually a Sunday after I had left church. I immediately called the church, got the voicemail. And I said, hey, I said, I just found out that fornicators don't inherit the kingdom. I finally found a scripture on my own, and it was 1 Corinthians 6:9 that said, you will not inherit the kingdom. And I said, I'm devastated. I'm living with the guy. You guys never, ever, ever, ever preach this. I'm here for Bible studies on Wednesday, and I'm here on Sundays. I'm paying all this money to tithes, and I never knew this. So the next Sunday, I never got a call back. Yeah, the next Sunday, I went to the church, you know, went to that church, and the pastor had a mannequin of a lady in a wedding dress on one side of the, in the pulpit, and another mannequin of a guy in a tuxedo, and he had an air mattress in the middle. And he said, this bed is for husband and wife. And I was super devastated after that, you know, thinking like, how many other people are sitting here in my same situation? Back in the day, no one lived together unless they were husband and wife. No one did.
Exactly.
So I just know that didn't happen. And it's not spoken about enough. I mean, I try my best to, you know, enlighten people when the Spirit tells me to, you know, but just to enlighten people, but it's never spoken about enough. And that is huge. You know, so I just, again, want to say thank you. I mean, again, don't want to take up much time, but I'm hoping that some Christians will come on here and say, oh, we changed now. We actually tell you guys how to keep the commandments. We tell you about fornication. We tell you about the unclean foods. We tell you about, you know, all the things that are major that are never discussed. So I just want to, again, say thank you. And I couldn't believe it when I flipped, you know, when I got the recommended, I'm like, that's the guy. That's him. So I just wanted to say thank you. I'm not sure if the same guy that you're with now was the same guy that was on that video, but it was a pretty short video, and you were so sincere. And I'm like, this brother right here knows what he's talking about, and you were bringing scriptures. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's Seizure Board Jer. That's him. You know, so
yeah.
I just want to say thank you. And hopefully, you know, some Christians can call in and say, hey, church is different now. You know, we're actually teaching the people the truth. You know, I don't know. I really tried very hard to stay in church because I really miss the worship and praise in the black churches. The worship and praise is so amazing and it's so filling. So that was one of the things that was very hard, but I couldn't do it because as soon as I walked in, I'd see, you know, all these graven images and all the things that were going against just the commandment. So I just want to say thank you and shalom, brother. I really appreciate your show so far. It's awesome.
Well, thank you, sister, and I hope you'll at least look into the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Go to historytimes.org, look into it, because I think
at the stage
you're in right now, it will be a great tool for 3 months every Sunday where you can just be filled with understanding that Bible. And we have the updated news that you can't find, that we can't even talk about here. So. And Lawyer Deal with the Hebrew 101, it's a very, 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 very good class for those who are beginners. So, and for those that are advanced, either way. So, and we start
one
this Sunday.
Question.
So, Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, one quick question for you. How many years have you been in the truth? Just curious.
Let's see. I would say 22 years.
Wow. Oh, praise to the Most High.
Yeah, about 22, 23 years. But all in all, the truth of Christ happened where I found the truth of Christ. Because knowing you're an Israelite, it's just finding the truth of our genealogy.
That's right.
That's mind-blowing as well. Yeah, but it is mind-blowing. But some people get stuck there believing that's the truth. When it was the Israelites who drummed up a lynch mob to kill the true Israelite, who is Christ. So
wow.
I had to be able to decipher the difference between an Israelite according to the flesh and an Israelite according to Christ, to not become Pharisee. If you go into strictly the history, you cannot do that without developing some negative sentiment against other people racially. So it's unbalanced.
Yes.
It was the Spirit of Christ that let me reason and understand that I'm not supposed to use my history of receiving the knowledge of who I am against other people.
Wow.
Because
he
was graced enough to give me information that most people live their whole life without receiving. I should be grateful and use that as a tool to help people, my people and other races of people.
That's right.
Right?
That's beautiful.
But I received that level of truth through the Holy Spirit around 2002, 2003 is when I really got the truth. Okay?
Wow.
Just knowing who you are isn't enough.
No, it's not.
It has to be balanced with the mission of Christ, because those who killed Christ and gave him up to die knew they were Israelites. All right?
That's beautiful. One last quick thing I just want to say to you is that, you know, one more question, actually. You didn't go to any type of schooling or any type of theological school or any of that?
Never went to a theological school.
So let me tell you how powerful your knowledge is. Your knowledge is so powerful because the Spirit gave you, Christ, the Spirit of Christ gave you the knowledge that you have. And that can go above that goes above any school that's out there. So it's amazing. I thank you, brother. I am so very grateful that I found you, and all praises to the Most High. Thank you so much for taking my call.
And I'm glad you're here, sister. Welcome home. Bless you.
Okay. Bless you too. Shalom.
All right. Yolanda. All right, next call, Michael has a comment.
Hey, shalom, how you doing?
Shalom, Michael, the floor is yours. As you can see, the topic of discussion, Christ is the truth, Christianity is the lie.
That's the answer. Just want to say happy to finally speak to you and on the phone with you. So many questions is rushing in my head. But yes, I do agree with you. I'm also a Christian now understanding my truth of a true Israelite.
Okay.
And I'm just learning as I go, and I'm really learning fast too. One thing I do have a little pushbacks with my family though, because they are Christian, and I come from I don't know if you heard fire baptismal. I'm from Jersey, but I live in New York now. Church that I came from was under a female bishop called Bishop Barnes. I know your whole story on that, which is just good to know. But she gave me a lot of teaching, which brought me to you, you know. And I found your program through my cousin, and he was just like – a person that's studied many religions.
Okay, he's confused. That means he's confused. But go on.
Yeah, he's confused, but he also pointed you out too.
Okay.
And Yeah, you know, and he's the one who got me more on this type of path of claiming Judah and Israelite. And, you know, so I really owe it to him. But
praise the Most High. But let me yeah. speak on that. The Bible
yeah, yeah.
tells us the Bible tells us that one man, Christ, one man planted, another man watereth, but it's the Most High who give the increase.
Yes, it is.
So anyone can be used. Any circumstance can be used if it was meant for you to be chosen. Okay?
That's
good.
Yeah.
So all, it still goes back to the Most High. Even with me as a vessel teaching, with that brother who studied many religions, there were the angels operating the whole time so that you can stand face to face in that book with the word, with the words of the Almighty. That's where he wanted you.
Yeah. Yeah, like
okay.
the book of Enoch, the
exactly.
apographer.
Exactly. But go like, on. What is your question? What is your question or comment?
So when it comes
to your family, you was rounding it out. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because I'm going to give you like a little basics and then ask you a question and get your comments on stuff. I wanted to talk to you for the longest.
Okay. Well, I really want to deal with this call in a way in which it edifies. So it got to edify. For the audience,
yeah.
So what we can't do, and I can help you with it, is not deal with all the train of thought that's coming through your conscience to explain to me everything that you've been thinking up into this time, wanting to speak to me. Quantify if you can.
I will.
What you need in this call? Yeah, go on.
Coming out of the Christian church, do I have to get rebaptized into your church or to the Israelite faith?
Yes.
Let
me make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be baptized into my church, okay? This is the body of Christ. So, no, I got to correct that because you have to understand this is edifying for those. Don't forget, there's those that are enemies that hear this.
Then
they can get it, but I don't want people to actually deal with that as a perception at all. This is Christ's church, number one. But number two, your answer to that is, after being baptized in the Christian church, must you be rebaptized? The answer is yes. And this is why. When John's disciples came to Christ's disciples, they said, we don't know of this Holy Spirit that we've seen, right? So what happened was all of John's disciples were baptized in the name of Christ over, even though they were baptized under John, because you were baptized into another spirit.
Yeah, true. Okay.
That original spirit came from the blood-sucking Holy Roman Church.
And
you weren't taught the law to know exactly what you were repenting from. So you continued to sin unknowingly.
True.
You were still sinning against the laws of God, right? When did you stop eating pork?
I stopped eating pork when I really got into your sermons.
How long ago was that?
Two and a half years ago,
you sound like a grown man to me. The whole time you were baptized in the church, you were destroying your body with an unclean meat that God said don't even touch, let alone consume. So you were baptized under a name that could receive swine, unclean things. So you don't know, they're not teaching what being born again is. Being born again is changing your lifestyle, be it even the things that are unclean that you will put in your body and walk in newness of life according to God's law in the spirit of Christ. You weren't taught none of that.
No,
right? That's why it says the baptism is a renewing of the mind. How is it the renewing of the mind when you're baptized with water and go back to sin against the Bible? But go on.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right.
Yeah. Go on.
I try to tell my father, my grandmother that, you know, about the Sunday worship. Just like how you said in one of your sermons, don't let your chest get puffed up and, you know, you got the new truth in you. Now you're ready to go out and tell. You know, and that was definitely me. You know, I was in everybody's face with it because, you know, it's like a new toy, a new car. You just want to show everybody, you know. And and you was right on the money with that, with the puffing up your chest. Got into arguments with my father, and you was right about, I mean, well, the Bible is right. You were just the vessel about father and son having, like, disagreements not coming together. You was the Bible is right when you said about, it just gets a little, you was right about the family should be arguing about this. Like, all
the
of this just
shall,
when...
It says the foe shall be there of your own household. See, but you're getting all this... Listen, you're getting all this knowledge, but this is what you have to receive above all,
okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. You have to receive the knowledge of how to actually live with the word now, understanding the level your family's on without losing them, right? Exactly, because Christ said, listen, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they rend you under feet. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Here it is. Here it is. These people may not bother you at all if you just walk with the word and show an example of how the word is benefiting you. They're watching. But when you try to go ghost busting, you're not battling them. Mm-hmm. You're battling the spirit who's using them as a host. So understand how to walk with wisdom with this brother. And the best way you can teach them is to show forth the life of Christ that they can see without becoming a taskmaster or lords over God's flock. You cannot be the guy who becomes a Pharisee in your mother's home, your sister's home. They didn't invite you over for Bible study or to tell them what they can do in their home.
True.
Right?
You're right.
So the whole thing is, Paul said you must be able to condescend to the lowest level. That's why Christ was able to operate with publicans and sinners. You think they would want Christ around, and every time Christ came around, he told them everything bad about themselves? No. He dealt with them on a level he can communicate with them on. And eventually, the conscience would trick them.
Yeah.
Just with the opportunity of being around a righteous man who wasn't judging them. And see, I know where you are because I used to do that and think I smelled a ghost bus, anything. I'm walking around a walking conspiracy. Everything, brother, you see that sign?
Yeah.
You know that sign? Oh, yeah. It is. Listen, you have to listen. Eat. Just relax a little bit with it.
Yeah.
Have an opportunity to condescend to the lowest level and be able to see as those you're looking to convert sees. Without judging all the time, without telling them what they shouldn't be doing, because what that does, that dissolves the opportunity to be around at that moment they need you.
Mm.
One day they're going to come to you. And guess what? And I didn't realize until I started dealing with it from that angle, how many people who are actually watching my transformation.
Mm. So that's happening to me right now.
Hey, brother, this is why Christ was able to sit with publicans and sinners. The Pharisees, like, why are you sitting around with these? He know they doing wrong. And Christ says, well, I'll tell you what. At least they know they need a physician. You're whole already. You think you all together. Y'all don't need me. I'm here with the people who know they're doing wrong. But I'm going to have an opportunity to be around them so that when the opportunity comes in their conscience, I'll help transform them, convert them, help them. Because what? Sin is a stronghold. It's not just them. It's the stronghold that's in them that's prohibiting them from actually hearing and changing based on what? Us speaking, talking, right? So it's not them by themselves. It's a stronghold that we have to be patient enough to wait around to help them rid that demon that has had them bound in certain instances. I can be around my brothers now and other people in my family that I know are doing things that they're struggling with. And the whole thing is when I'm around them, brother, eventually they'll break down or my family will start crying and say, you know what, man, I shouldn't be doing this, da 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 da, without me saying anything.
Yeah.
And now, you know what my response now is? How can I help you? I've been waiting for you to be here. How can I help you? Right? The greatest among you shall be your what? Your what? Christ said, the greatest among you shall be a what? Servant.
Servant.
Not a Pharisee. Not someone who's looking to point out what everyone is doing wrong. All right, let me get to the next call, okay, brother?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Great call. Come on now. I got a Christian somewhere, don't we? We have to have a Christian somewhere. If not, it's okay. Kamar is online. Kamar, 646 area code. How are you, Kamar?
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
Yeah, my name is Kamar, as you know. It's the first time calling in. I tried to call in, but it's the first time get you. I'm so happy, man. I'm like a little kid talking to my mother in a long time, man. I love you, Elder. I love you. You're a godsend, man. You're a godsend. I was
confused
about 6 years ago, and you showed me the light, man. God sent you on this earth for a purpose. And I pray he give you everlasting life from now to lead us to the end, because he sent you to lead us. I know that, because there is so much lost sheep that you open their eyes. I know you open my eyes. There's so much thing happen in my life that couldn't understand. I can't explain, but watching you, it made me understand, like, I die already, and I always think I was dreaming, Laura. And when you do the topic about it, I see that I die already. And when I tell people before, like, people think I was lying. But when you give the topic about it, that book writes long ages ago before I exist. It showed me that you are our leader. You are sent by the Most High to lead us. And I thank God for you, man, because you opened my eyes. And so I grew up in the church. My mother is a pastor, and I'm a captain for the Bible quiz team. I win regional final. That means I enter the World Jamaica and I win. And I never understand the Bible. I understand religion. Religion is what I understand then. And when I find out that Jesus' name, it came from my friends. My friends always tell me, because I'm from Jamaica, they always say, Selassie. Well, I know Selassie is just a man. So they were saying Jesus is a white man. And the Bible said, I don't want to sit in the scornful as sinner. So those are my friends. And to me, you're talking bad about God. So I was ready to stop talking to my friend. And it's like I feel lonely because I didn't have no friend, like, because they're talking about God and I'm alone in New York. I feel lonely, and I go to an elder friend and I say to him, say, yo, I feel like, yo, there's something wrong about life. I don't know what it is, man, and I don't think it's church, because I grew up in church. I know what church feel like. I know what speaking tongues feel like. I know it does seem like that's not it that I want. And he say, yo, just pray. And I go to my bed and I pray. I have a dream that I was in the desert. And And when our agenda in the desert was us, and it's like we were melting, and I was melting too, but a bottle of water fall from the sky, and it fall right in my hand, and I drink the water. When I drink the water, I feel quenched, my thirst quenched. I feel good, telling the other people to, yo, drink the water, here's some water. If you drink the water, you're going to live. And they wouldn't drink the water. And I see they blast up, like they just blast up and turn fire. And I hear a voice, I'm the living God of Israel. So I wake up, and I went on Facebook, and I was scrolling, and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I was on Facebook scrolling, and I look on Facebook, I see a video, say the living God of Israel. So I'm thinking, this is God talking to me. The topic was Amen Ra. And they was going into some topic and teach you some things, how to make your life better and some things. But, and to me, as I say, I grew up in the church, and my mother is a pastor. It feel like it was witchcraft, because it was like you praying to get what you want. You got to do certain things and make certain, say certain things. So I didn't, it's like it wasn't, that wasn't God. Even though as I wake up, I see that. So I start searching, and I start searching more. And I type in Jamaica, the Israelites. And when I type in Jamaica, the Israelites, I see you come up, and the video come up, the Benjamite. Jamaican is the Benjamite. So I start watching that video, I know the history of Jamaica because I like to read. So when you start talking about the history and start talking about the Bible, what the Bible say would happen to Benjamin, it made me see who I am now. So I find my place now. So it made me want to know, okay, who is God now? Because I know I'm Israel. I know I'm a Benjamite. So who is God now? So I type in J-O-C-C teaching in who is God. There was no topic as that. I just scroll on. I see they say, I am that I am, Ahaya, Asha. And I click on that. And then from there on, I learn. And then you answer everything that I wanted to know from growing up in the church. Because I always ask my mother, oh, the Bible says he's supposed to be like brass that burn chain time. He got to be black. And my mother says, don't question God. And you break down everything to me. And I want to thank you, man. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, man. I love you, and I want you to live forever and ever, man, and do God's work.
Oh, thank you, my brother. I mean, what a call. Thank you, Kumar. I'm going to place you on hold, okay?
Okay, brother.
All right. Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what a call, because that leads us to the next point. Before I take the next call, hold on, Terry, I have you next. That leads us to the next point, right? What is the true mission of Christ? We're taught to go out with tracts, convert people into Christianity, ask if they were saved, are they saved, or have they received Christ in their life? All this bogus crap that Christians are putting forth as the mission to replace Christ's true mission. It's a shame that our people, who are God's people, have to come to a point to ask him, exactly who are we? Who are you? Okay? That leads us to Christ's true mission. Don't forget, it started out in this particular broadcast where it was proven historically and according to Christ's prophecy that our people, the children of Israel who started off in Jerusalem, would lose our homeland according to Christ's prophecy by the hands of the Romans. The Romans would kill off the disciples and reconstruct a new form of Christianity only hide in their paganism using Christ's name. So they would change Christ's mission for his people. So what is the true mission when someone receives the knowledge of the truth and the true ministry of Christ? What should all churches, all pastors, how should they be proselytizing when converting on the streets or amongst the people within the earth, spreading the gospel? Elder Lawyer, let's get it, Matthew 10, 5, and 6.
St. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5.
Read.
These 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not.
Come on.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Go where?
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
I would rather you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, how did the Israelites get lost? Deuteronomy 28 and 64 tells us that Israelites for disobedience were scattered throughout the four corners of the earth and was meant to serve other nations and other gods, wood and stone. Stone represents predominantly Islam. The wood represents the cross of Talmud upheld by the Roman Empire. So how can you claim you can spread that you're bringing people to Christ without doing his first mission? His first mission was to the lost sheep, to let them know exactly who they are and what purpose Christ has for these particular people according to prophecy. That's not excluding Gentiles, because at the end when Christ was resurrected and came before the disciples, and once the true ministry was established by us, our people, Christ made a decree to go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's not excluding other people, but it's prioritizing according to Christ's gospel, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. Well, the Christian church have excluded the Jew first, which are Israelites, and made a ministry strictly for Gentiles without identifying the lost sheep of Israel. And it's a shame our people. And if, you know what? I'm glad it's this way, because no man of theologian school can stake claim to this awakening. I'm glad the Most High did it the way he did it, folks. Because that means there's a spiritual intervention going on unseen. When an idea comes to you and say, like that sister said earlier, Elder Lawyer, and that brother say, something just came to my mind and I went to the internet and I typed something in and I begin to scroll. No man can take credit for that. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit working to do what? To fulfill Ezekiel 37, awakening the valley of the dry bones. So since the Christian church have hid this information, God himself has begun to tap the shoulders of his Israelites all around the earth, letting his people know it's time. The time of the Gentiles have been fulfilled, and the lost sheep of Israel have next. And we're getting this information against all odds. With the deck stacked against us, the Most High is still fulfilling his prophecies within this ministry and within. And even on the outside of us, don't forget, sometimes I'm asleep, sometimes I'm not doing nothing at all, and the Most High is still using those videos that we did for years, serving him, humbly serving him, to answer all the questions the Christian church should have answered. Thank you, Elder Lawyer. I just wanted to put that out there. The true mission is not going out there with tracts asking people, are they saved? You are supposed to bring the truth to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because this world is not going to get right until God's people are right. Ever since we fell, the whole earth been turned upside down. You're not going to fix this with voting or any politics or any policy. This earth is too broken. And the only people who can fix it, Satan, have aimed his evil and his conspiracy against. There's no coincidence that there's drugs, guns, religion, all of that concentrated amongst the communities where our people are. That's not a coincidence. That isn't a coincidence. And this earth won't get right until the children of Israel come back to the Father. The earth is dying and waiting. It's just that so many people believe out there that I'm just one person. What can I do? It's like one person standing in an ocean is coming towards you, and you're saying, well, what little can I do against this big ocean, this tidal wave? That's what you're thinking. But no, the Most High has a certain number that must be sealed. And when we come to that number, there are thousands of angels who operate for us. We're not alone. A host of angels operates for that one individual because those hosts belong to our Savior. We have to stop looking at things from an earthy vantage point or disadvantage point. That's what I would put it. Because we think we're alone, so therefore, let someone else do it. That's why we have the academy. That's why we have all that. These guys paying thousands of dollars to go to a theologian school to only become what? Intellectually dumber when it comes to the Bible and Christ's true mission. That's why we make things affordable. That's why we do what we do, because we understand that once we get that number, Christ is going to crack that atmosphere. And there's a few things that have to happen. We're looking at three things in particular that must happen. One thing that must happen is a great earthquake that breaks America into three parts. That's one thing that's going to happen. The second thing that must happen, in no uncertain order, is the war with Iran, the Iran war. The third thing, cashless society, where no man can buy or sell or go to work or do anything unless you can show you have the mark of the beast, and the bodies all over the earth with the stuff they took have already been prepped to receive the technology. The nanoparticles that's going through the bloodstreams of people right now is prepping the body, neurologically and otherwise, to receive the next step in this. And at that time, the whole earth will be turned against those who can see. And only Christ could save us out of such a time. I'm going to leave it there. Hebrew and Bible Academy, y'all. I'm going to tell you. Terry, the floor is yours.
Shalom, Elder Shalom.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm blessed. The floor is yours.
Yes,
Christ,
sir.
Christ is the truth. Christianity,
yes,
as an institution, has lied. Let's go on.
Oh, man. Christianity is a lie. Not just a lie. It's a drug, too. I have a comment, and I have a question too. I'm from Haiti. I came to the state when I was about 13 years old, born in a church. My mother brought me here, and we've been going to this church. But in 2014, and I actually wanted to give my life to God, and I changed, and you know, I had nowhere else to go but the Christian church. And that's where I got baptized. Yeah, so that's where I got baptized in. And that's another question. That's one question I had. But the guy before me asked you about the baptism, you know, and you answered it and you made it clear for me. And not only that, the other day, the Lord revealed to me that I do need to get rebaptized because I was baptized in that Christian church. You know what I'm saying? Because long story short, basically that I kind of like grew a, because I've been in that church forever. So I grew a strong relationship with that church, with the people in the church. And, so last year, in 2020, when the pandemic hit and I decided I was leaving, I told the pastor and everything. And so now I've been in the truth ever since then. I'm looking back, yeah, Christianity is a lie. And the thing is, our people, they don't even know that it's a stronghold on them, because let me tell you what happened when I got baptized in the church. The first thing I did, and the Lord was revealing to me how the Christianity movement is not of God at all. The first thing I did, I went on my Facebook page and I changed my cover picture to a white Jesus holding the earth. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that picture.
not the door.
Yeah, but like the Most High was revealing to me, he was like, subconsciously, like, it's there, you know what I'm saying? That Caesar Borgia, that white image is there. They may not say it, they may not knowing it, but like deep down inside, subconsciously, it's there, because when I did that, I didn't even think about it, you know what I'm saying? I just knew, like, that was just Jesus, you know what I'm saying? I just put it in my, now when I'm in the truth, I'm looking back out, the Most High is showing me, like, wow, I was lost, you know? And I want to thank you, man. Like, you, GOCCI, like I say, like I've been telling everyone, I've been putting everybody on you, man. You guys have the spirit, man. You guys are in the truth, man. This brother I work with, man, I was trying to put him on you guys, but he was, because the first day I went to that job and I saw him, he had his fringes on. And I was happy, man. I was like, oh, man, another brother in the truth. And, you know, then we started talking, and then he mentioned what camp he was subscribed to. I was like, oh, man. Because I already know his beliefs. He subscribes to IUIC or whatever.
Okay.
So, so I know those guys, they don't even believe in baptism. So I was like, so he brought me in his car. We was talking. I guess he was trying to, like, convert me, like, to IUIC, blah, 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 because he was like, yeah, you don't have to get baptized. Christ didn't baptize. So I sent him your video the other day. He was like, oh, man, I'm good, bro. I don't believe in – I watched GOCC long time ago. I don't believe in that, blah, blah, blah. It's not for me. I was like, wow, okay, yeah, all right. So whatever. But,
I tell you what, once you send him those videos, you don't got to worry about him trying to say anything else to you about it.
Right.
What you're concerned about at first.
Right.
Once he sees those videos, automatically – they're automatically taught, yo, don't even take it in. Don't even look at it.
Right. And that video, listen,
because it's thoroughly broken down.
Oh, man,
let me say this. I'm going to let you say your point of what that video is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone that'll tell you not to do what Christ instituted with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how strong they teach. That's anti-God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why not do it just because he did it?
Right.
Why would you be adamant against something?
Exactly.
To try to prove it wrong.
But
yet you'll claim Christ is the one you serve. But go
Right. No, what I was trying to say is the way you broke that down is like, if anyone don't get it, I don't know how you don't get that. You know, it's just the way you break it down. It's just like, if you don't receive that means it, like, I guess it really wasn't for you. You know what I'm saying? So I just really want to say thank you, man. Like, I've watched pretty much all your videos. It's very informative, man. I've been in the truth. Like you said, I do really get rebaptized, like you was telling the other guy. When I got baptized into that church, I was still eating pork. I was still, you know, I was still not keeping the Sabbath, you know. So, I do need to get rebaptized. And another question I have, I play instrument for that church. I play music. I used to play music for them. So I left. When I left.
Okay, what do you play?
I played a keyboard. Yeah, I played a keyboard.
Okay, let me drop something on you, man. How old are you?
I'm 32 years old right now.
32.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this. Where do you live?
Lakeland, Florida.
You live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this, young man. The Bible says that we cannot be over-righteous in certain matters. Now, I will never dissuade someone from their convictions when it comes to the sacrifice you would make for Christ in this walk.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to tell you, as we come closer, brother, you all of us must become wiser,
uh-huh, right,
in our understanding,
uh-huh,
right? And yes, I would say, please use this as an opportunity to not judge a matter, but an opportunity to sit in good faith with that pastor.
Uh-huh.
In good faith. Because honestly, when you see people, you know you're playing the music and all that, that
uh-huh,
actually triggers an emotion where they're all up in it, and you can't help but feel
uh-huh, right. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Right? So exactly. I understand that aspect, knowing the power of music.
Right, that's my question. Like, I've been, like, doubting whether shall I still, you know, because I love, and they begged me to come back because of the reason why I was trying to keep the law. I told them, man, you know, I got to keep the Sabbath. I don't believe in Sunday church worship anymore, so I left. And then, like, they replaced me with somebody else, but that person ended up leaving, and they was paying him. When I was there, they wasn't paying me. I didn't want no money from them or anything because I was doing it out of love of my heart. But they got a new guy. They was paying him. So I was like, so they begged me to come back. I said, yeah, I was paying him, so I'm going to have it. I'm going to make y'all pay. So that's the only reason why I came back, because they didn't have nobody. And I grew up in that church. And so out of love, so I wanted to come back.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call you, and we can talk about it.
Okay.
But you can't be over judgmental in matters and
right,
spontaneously make a decision.
Right.
If there's an opportunity there, there's a lot of people in that church that, because of the relationship you develop, don't forget, Paul
mm-hmm.
was a Pharisee.
Right.
And there was never an opportunity in which he couldn't, there was never an opportunity broken in which
uh-huh.
That would prohibit him
right.
from having Pharisees see Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
right.
I would say in good faith, instead of no, this is the situation, I did develop relationships that I believe came through Christ, good people who have helped and shared with me. Outside mm-hmm. of that, I believe that there's honest people who went to church and don't even know any better, but that's the only way they
right.
know to serve, like I once did.
Right.
But try to be patient and use that relationship that you
mm-hmm.
have with that pastor to say in good faith, this is not
about
you trying to convince me of anything. Let's have a discussion, and I'm going to show you how I can – I'll give you some insight on how to deal with that conversation, but – all right, I'll give you the last word, and I wrote your phone number down, so I can always call you off.
All right. Okay, good. I was saying that me and the pastor, we don't really – like, I talked to you, like, a couple of, like, weeks ago about the how he's the one that that had the doctor that came in that was trying to get the congregation
the juice?
To take the vaccine. Yeah, the Jews, right.
And that's another thing.
So
that's another thing. I don't understand how any pastor who claimed to have the faith of Christ and God would institute a political agenda within their church without checking with the Most High first,
right,
to see if
right.
this is what
that's
he wants, or promoting a medical procedure in a church,
right?
To advise
you know what,
people to take a medical procedure. That's insane. But go on.
That's what I said. But he told me that I'm not a theologian or a doctor, so I don't have no say so in that matter, you know. So I was like, oh, okay, cool, all right.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Based on the detailed information you have divulged, I would
uh-huh.
say, hey, you've made the right decision. See, I need the data to be able to assess the scenario to say, okay, you made the right decision. And I would suggest any further interactions or correspondence with him should be
uh-huh.
over the phone or video, you know,
okay.
outside of that building.
Right.
Because the decisions he has made as a pastor can
right.
put the whole congregation at risk.
Right.
All
right.
So.
Right.
All
right. Right. Right.
Well, mm-hmm. thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, Elder.
All right. Charlotte. Bless you, and I'll call you, Terry. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There goes Terry. And I was hoping to get some Christians around here. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Do they hear me? I know there's thousands of people in here. If anyone have any questions concerning doctrine, it's time right now. We have Zayaqua has a comment. Zayaqua. Hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Zayaqua?
Zayaqua.
Zayaqua. Okay. All right. The floor is yours.
All right. Shalom, how are you?
Shalom. I'm blessed by the best. And his name is Ahiah. And the weekend of the 19th of March will be the Passover. The weekend of the 19th. I'm just telling everybody out there, it's going to be serious. It's going to be serious. Pittsburgh, PA. More details I'll be discussing for the Passover and the Academy this coming Sabbath. So be there. But go on, sister. Floor is yours, the choir. Zaya.
All right. I just wanted to make a quick comment on.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Floor is yours.
Okay. I just wanted to make a quick comment. What you had said earlier about needing to cast off the lies of the Christian church, that is a true statement. And I've noticed that because we are, in fact, an emotional people, the enemy can easily bend us to both our own will and their will with the right ammunition, which I've noticed is mostly the allure that you can worship God and also do whatever you want. And we spent so much time fighting for liberal and basically invisible rights that when people went to church, they were fed what they wanted to hear, like prosperity, stuff like that. And you had also mentioned how black people are like kind of dispersed among like different religions. And a lot of the black Christians that I used to know in the mainstream Christian church, they either are with this church, they don't go to church anymore, or they practice witchcraft of some sort, which I have tried to talk to some of them and say, oh, well, do you know about this, and this, or this, that, and the other thing? And they're like, oh, well, if that's what you think is the right thing, but I'm gonna stick with my spirituality and manifestations and my crystals. And I'm like,
manifestation and crystals.
Yes, sir. Like a lot of the things I noticed was people into using crystals to manifest good things for themselves.
Okay. And all right. They're manifesting a demon, but go on.
Yeah. And I also noticed that the Christian church, especially the ones that I used to go to, and there were a lot of them, they were notorious for using Paul to trump Christ. So instead of talking about the laws and commandments in the Old Testament that Christ also followed, they would say things in the scriptures like Romans 6:14 and say, oh, we don't have to, like you said, we don't have to follow the laws anymore. But we'll turn around and complain that people are leaving the church, going out into the world, or coming into the church and being immodest. And come to think about it now, my first like real Bible that I had when I was still in the Christian church only had about 16 or 17 like actual highlighted scriptures in it. And I had that Bible for 7 years up until I left the Christian church entirely. And all of those highlighted scriptures were in the New Testament. And then I got, as I was getting into being with GOCC, I got a lot of following the whole Bible makes me a cult member. And
Hold up. What makes you a cult member? Following the whole Bible makes you a what?
A cult member. That's what I've been told by people who don't want to listen to me.
Hey, sister, while you're here, what I'm going to do, I'm going to show brothers and sisters an example of what you just said. We talk about this, Elder Lawyer, in the Academy sometimes when it comes to the modern-day Christianity, some of the a lot of people don't understand the doctrine that's behind what she just said. Trying to use Paul's writings to trump Christ, when it should be the other way around, because the people who are teaching Paul don't even understand Paul. His writings are hard to be understood. They're taught in the theologian school to go to Paul's writing to say the law is done away with, which is utterly ridiculous. When Paul tell you straight up that you don't know sin unless you have what? Unless you've recognized the law. How would you know sin without the law? And he consent that the law was good, but they leave that out. When you look at your screen here, there's a philosophy called Marcionism. Marcionism is the doctrinal system of a sect of the second and third centuries AD, accepting some parts of the New Testament, but denying Christ a corporality and humanity of condemning the creator of the Old Testament. So under Marcionism, they made the God of the Old Testament into a bad guy that can now be what? Ignored. They made two separate gods now. Not to follow the law, but there's bad stuff in the Old Testament, only follow Christ and the ideology that's being taught through the Christian church, because the old stuff doesn't matter anymore. It's called Marcionism. That's where they got that particular doctrine to begin to skirt around Christ, to use the misunderstanding of Paul's writings to teach Marcionism. Okay? So I wanted to put that out there. And you learn more about that even within the academy also. There's a philosophy, there's a mindset behind them teaching the laws done away with. Why would you go through such extent to try to push lawlessness if you're of God? Why would you even try to put in the imagination of people that it's okay to sin against God if you're not the devil? Unless you're the devil, excuse me. Who would say, with all the laws in the Bible, let me find the precept that tells people, do as thou wilt, a satanic philosophy? If you give people the opportunity to continue their life as is in sin and still get the kingdom of heaven, what do you think they're going to choose? They're going to choose to continue. If people can stay the way they are without repenting and still get the kingdom of heaven, right? The majority of people would say, well, okay. So this is the danger of modern day Christianity by pushing the laws done away with. They're telling people who need structure, who need discipline, that they shouldn't, that they don't have to follow the law. If they do, they're not really in Christ. That's Marcionism. All right, go ahead, sister.
I had also a lot of things that I noticed that were different about the Christian church. Well, one of the specific things was how councils worked. Because I noticed that was that's like a big thing here, like how we have in Proverbs 11:14 about how counselors, the safety and counselors, and a lot of things told in councils and like the Christian church, they become open secrets. And I was thinking about that a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot recently because,
I think that's more of a societal thing and a people thing than it is a church.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter where you are, when people hear something juicy, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They have the propensity to talk about it or to, you know, that's just what it is. That's a people thing. And that's why even in the New Testament, in the church, Peter and others, Timothy and others, were reprimanding. Paul was reprimanding the church, even when you look at Timothy, of people being tattlers, going house to house, saying things they shouldn't say concerning their own household. This was happening in the first church before the Romans destroyed us. So that's a people thing there. We can't just put that on the Christian church.
No, yeah, I understand.
All right?
Understand.
Yeah. When people get juicy stuff, they like to talk about it. I mean, not to say it's right, but the church was being reprimanded for that. That's just our people. Well, thank you, sister. All right, bless you. All right. Shalom. All right, Sharon has a question and comment. 609 from New Jersey. How are you, Sharon?
Shalom, brother. Can you hear me?
I'm blessed by the best. Shalom. How you doing, Sharon? I can hear you loud and clear. The floor is yours.
Okay. At first, I'd just like to send my condolences on the loss of your mom. And I've
Thank
been following
you.
Your program. I am an ex-Christian and also an ex-Jehovah Witness. I left the church. I was raised up in the church, but I left the church because I was just done with the nonsense. And Jehovah Witnesses won me over. They taught that everybody was going to go into God's kingdom hand in hand, and we're going to love each other. And it was such a beautiful story. But they also taught that the Messiah was a white man.
Of course.
And I one day I was on Facebook and I saw a brother make a comment, and he said, "We're Israel." So I said,
Correct.
"Wait, this was my second time hearing this. If you were descendants of slaves, you're Israel." And
yes.
I went and I said, "You know what? I have to research this, because this is my second time hearing that we're Israel." So I researched it, and I came across a video on YouTube called Hidden Blacks in the Bible.
Okay.
And I played that video, and it went into Deuteronomy, and when he I followed along with him, and when he got to Deuteronomy 28, I think it's 68, and it said
yes.
that we were scattered on ships. That sealed it for me. I said, that's us. And I cried for 6 months. I cried. I prayed to God, and I said, "I'm 62 years old. Why so long to find this truth?" But then I realized it wasn't time for me to find it, but I found it before I closed my eyes. And I am so grateful, and I follow you, and I love the teachings. And I have one question, and something I never heard you speak on. Women and pants, are we supposed to come out of pants?
The Bible says that you're not supposed to wear what pertaineth to a man, and a man is not to put on woman's clothing, okay? Now, pants in of itself, okay, isn't a sin, because there are women pants, okay? But the women pants aren't supposed to be what? They're supposed to be modest. They're not supposed to show another man.
Yes.
Another man outside of your husband, the curvatures and all that. You're not supposed to be showing that publicly, because it can cause a man to lust.
Yes.
But there are women pants. There are things that women used to wear under their skirts and dresses that were pants, okay? So, but the whole thing is, and there are women pants out there that if a man put on, you know, you'll have people looking at them sideways who are heterosexual. So it's more so not putting on the clothing of the opposite sex. But we're supposed to be modest. We're not supposed to have no tight fitting stuff and all that all out there. But a women have defined clothing for them as women. There's pants women wear that I would walk outside with without being questioned. So it's talking about me, because you can't find the word pants in the Bible.
Yes.
okay? You can't find it there. So where there's no law, there's no transgression. But I believe that we all understand what modest apparel is, according to God.
Yes.
And we all understand what women pants are and what men pants are. Right? So it comes a time where we have to use logically our common sense along with our conscience to know that what we put on makes a statement without conversation. So I believe wholeheartedly that women know that they're supposed to wear modest apparel, not showing their shape, and dresses and skirts usually does the trick.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
That was my question.
Exactly. Exactly. See, but I have to be careful because why? Where there's no law, there's no transgression. And you have to leave space for someone to consciously come to the knowledge on their own to understand. The way I'm looking is sexually attracting other people. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So
okay,
women must be more mindful. Men should be mindful of that too, but women use the wiles of their outward appearance to lure men.
Yes.
Conscious. Right? Now,
yes.
It was a time where women used to wear modest apparel and were wives and all that and could still lure men. When we get to that, that'll be a good place when a woman don't have to do all that sexual stuff.
Yes, right.
To actually gain the man who would be with them all the days of their life. Usually when a woman is dressed a certain type of way, a man is with her for that specific reason.
Yeah,
and I don't think that'll benefit a woman long term. Okay.
Yeah, this is all what right. I try to what I preach
yeah.
to my granddaughter, but hopefully she'll get it.
Yeah, because younger girls and others, they confuse the right attention with sexual attention. They think it's one and the same.
Yeah,
it's not. All right, thank you, sir.
Oh.
We'll
okay,
talk about
you.
That
Bye.
In the academy a little bit. Now, are you in the academy this Sunday or no? Be honest.
I was in the one before that. I'm going to go and probably sign up for this one.
Well, it's up
starts,
to you, sister, but thank you. Thank you for participating. The first week starts Sunday, but it's up to you. You've been
Sunday.
There before. I appreciate it, but hey, it's going to be a real something this Sunday, so. Either way, we thank you for your we thank you for the enrollment, the past enrollment. Okay,
okay? Thank you, brother.
You're
okay.
welcome. Bless you. All right. Okay, author.
Hello.
Hi, author.
Well, may the Most High bless you. I really appreciate your ministry. And I'm a white guy, and I'm coming out of the church. And
okay.
I guess I've been blessed because, you know, I've probably been, I grew up that way ever since I can remember. And all the churches I went to, you know, except for the Sabbath, they really do the Ten Commandments, I guess nine, they try. But
okay.
if you seriously think about it, the first three are hard to do if you don't do the fourth, so... They did the best they could, you know, and they were upstanding people in the community, taught good things,
yeah.
you know, don't let stuff on your TV that's not appropriate, you know,
yeah.
marriage, all that. And, but I was homeless for a while. I've had a pretty rough life and a really long testimony. And, I did a discipleship program at a gospel mission that didn't take funding from the state or from the federals. And we had some good pastors. And instead of doing 12, I did 20. And I found the classroom and the Strong's Concordance and everything. And the guy graduated in a 12-month program before me, got like 20 credits, 19 credits, I think. at an accredited college for what we learned there. And and then I had a personal experience with God. My pastor was from Fiji, and it wasn't a normal church. And the Lord put on my heart the Sabbath. And I don't know why. He just put it on my heart so hard. And so with my new Strong's and all that, I went into the Sabbath, and I learned that was right. And so, you know, I tried. I've been to, you know, a few colored churches. I've been everywhere looking for the truth. And like I said, I'm blessed because I went to really good, outstanding communities. And I've never been to a church that didn't teach proper stuff as far as not the food laws and the feasts. And I'm into that all now, too.
Okay.
And so the Lord's been leading me.
Hold up, Arthur. How old are you?
I'm 56.
56.
Yes.
There's a few things I want to say before you finish off, and then we'll go to the next. Then I'll hear what you have to say because I have other callers to take. I couldn't help but notice that you said you went to a few colored churches.
Yes, I don't know where I came from. We don't judge on skin or race. We judge on character.
No. Listen to what I'm saying to you, though. I know. But I can't help but correct you there. Colored implies that people were white and we were colored in. All right? So I have to correct you there because that's incorrect. All right? There is no colored people in the Bible. We're the children of Israel.
Right.
All right? So you
came, is there white people?
Are there white people within the children of Israel?
No. Are there white people, period?
Are there white people in our church?
No, in the world.
There is no white people.
Well, you know, the Lord led me to you on TV.
Listen to me, though. It's okay. I'm conversing with you. And I wanted a Christian to call in. Because what we have to do is we have to correct some of the verbiage that keeps us divided.
Right.
That Christ doesn't want. And the whole thing is, it's time that we learn again that colored,
right.
colored is offensive.
So
okay.
Is white.
Okay, so I won't call you white, but
okay,
I won't call you white. We can call it what? So-called white people, because don't forget, we didn't name white people. The white authority or the so-called European authority deemed themselves white and pure. They told us to call them that. We didn't name ourselves.
Because
okay. All right. So
this
I'm just
is
saying,
real important.
I'm saying it's real important that we dialogue because we're coming into a place where under the Joe Biden's administration, they are pushing now, of course, he's under Satan or whatever the case might be. The others are. Listen. They're pushing critical race theory and they're trying to push that
right.
in the church. And through, because we now understand the truth of who we are, we're not colored, we're not Negro, we're not black, we're the children of Israel according to God. We're God's chosen people. Because of doing that, they're going to try to incinerate things by moving it from the religious realm to the social engineering of our children. And the next phase of this is to teach white children to be sorry for what happened and that they're bad people inherently by white. They're bad people inherently being white children because they wanted to call themselves white. Right? And they must be more considerate and feel guilty for what happened to black people, which is dangerous because they're going to teach black people, black children, that the white privilege is what oppressed them. And this is why they're in the condition today when God put us in this condition. And by doing so, hope to ferment a cataclysm between blacks and whites who are ignorant following the theory.
Right.
Okay.
Right. See, so I wanted to answer your question on when the white guys call in. I heard that on the show. When the white guys call in, and then you were pretty emotional, and I'd like to answer that because you know I come from a place where I've been in a lot of different areas. I've been preaching the Bible in meth cults and gypsy joker biker gangs. I've had people after me that wanted to hurt me for a long time before I died. And Lord kept me through all that.
Because
9 out of 10 times that I watch your video, I watch your video because the Lord brought me to you, and I never knew that you guys were Israelites. I had no clue, and the Lord connected in my spirit. Yes, that's right. Listen. But 9 out of 10 videos, I got to sit through. The white man's got his foot on my neck. The white guy's got this. And, you know, we don't judge that way. Not 95% of the people I've been around in 56 years judge that way. But every time I watch a video, I get that. And I'd like to share your videos, but someone that might not have the Lord, I don't take offense, but someone coming newer than I am, they might, because, you know, I've helped so many people of all races, and I've been hurt by a lot of people of races, and,
Arthur,
it's just...
Arthur, let me make it clear. Let me make it clear to you, though. All right? When I speak in general, when it comes to my people, those that are viewing the video know it's generalizations. So, right? And when I talk about what the Arabs are doing, I know Arabs that are good people, but I can speak in general. Okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do is be patient as a believer in Christ. I'm going to ask you, listen to what I'm asking you to do, Arthur. Be patient to work through generalizations, knowing knowing that you're not like those who would do evil against God.
So I'm not like. I don't ever call you guys colored, but I didn't know what to call you because on the video I was just watching, you called my kind of white man. So
listen. I'd rather get into more media detail here. All in all, when you called in, you said I'm a white guy.
Right. That's because that's what you called me on the video. Would that guess that's what you relate to me as?
All right. Okay.
To call me a white guy.
Okay.
And so that's why I told you I was a white guy.
Okay.
I'm trying to make a couple points here also.
Okay, so let me speak and I'll let you speak. So you were being disingenuous and facetious when you said white guy.
Well, I guess kind of facetious, but more in a teaching way.
Oh, thank you. All right, thank you. So that means you came in dishonest because why? Listen to me clearly, Arthur. When I say
I wasn't coming in dishonest. You're wrong.
No,
I got to correct that. I came in as you called me. You said a white guy, right? And so I came in as a white guy because
Arthur,
I guess that's what you affiliate with.
Arthur, I'm going to put you on hold because before I can get out what I need to say, you're speaking. So we're going to dialogue. We're going to dialogue. So that we can edify for the people out there. And if I'm talking and you're talking, there's no edification. We're wasting time.
Okay, I got to say one thing, though. You said I came in dishonest, but I didn't. I came in affiliating myself with the way you put me out there. It wasn't dishonest.
Okay.
I had to say that when you said that. I apologize.
Okay, so let me say this. Thank you for that, Arthur. Because what I'll do is when I teach and talk, I'll be more conscious. I'll be more conscious of those who believe in Christ and that are trying to do the right things, who are so-called whites, to not let this gospel and what I'm teaching become a stumbling block to those in Christ who come in who are Gentile. So I didn't mean
Thank
to offend you, and I apologize if me teaching did that, okay? I will be more conscious of that.
No. It's not that you're offending me, but others I might try and share you with might get offended.
Okay.
Right, and
so okay.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of questions, and you know, your teachings are more towards Israelites than Gentiles, and
I've got a lot of questions
like this one, and
Listen. That's incorrect. I'm not going to allow you to make incorrect statements.
Okay.
That's incorrect. You're not listening good enough.
Hmm.
So I'm not going to allow you to do that. Because when you listen to our teachings, it's all inclusive. And let me tell you, there's not a so-called white person in this church. Male or female can say that when they're with me and around me, that they're treated any differently than any other person that's in this church. Not one. Now, listen, the reason why I call you so-called white or white, because why? If I said Esau or Edom, I would be a barbarian to you. Because the people out there who identify as white people on their job applications have no idea who Esau is because Esau has hid his name out of the earth.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I didn't know I was Esau until you.
Of course. So if I speak in another language, I'll become a barbarian. If I say white, people know what I'm talking about. When I say black, they know what I'm talking about. But I make it my position as a teacher to edify. So that when it's all over, even though I'm speaking a language that we all understand, those who listen to this long-term in good faith will know who we're talking about according to the names within the Bible itself. And at the end of the day, it's what God called us and our part and our place in prophecy as two separate races and also out of those races, us coming together under the spirit of Christ to fight evil. All of those narratives play in all together, not one against another, not one over the other. It's through the Holy Spirit how that whole thing culminates into Christ's purpose for us, right? So when I teach of Israelites and the promise to Israelites, it's not racist against Gentiles. Even though they may perceive it that way because so-called white people were never taught in a church in which they didn't feel the need to have the authoritative position. And that's usually the offense when people are looking at it who've always been in position of authority, not seeing themselves there. That's not my fault. But that's something that all so-called white people who receive the gospel must go through. And
right.
Because that's way less than what we as a people had to go through. I wish we only had to deal with the terms we're being called. All right? So I'm a place you on hold, Arthur. And guess what? I receive you as my brother because you are.
And I receive you as my brother and a teacher to me.
Exactly. And beyond my listen, beyond my so-called black skin as an Israelite, in the spirit, if you are in Christ, we are brothers. I have no axe to grind against you. And I want to say this to others out there. I have nothing against white people. No white person. Okay?
I'd like to say one thing before we go, though.
You have the last word.
Okay, as far as the drugs and the holding down, us also are in that. We might not be in the ghetto, but we're stuck. I was a poor boy. My grandma raised 12 on her own, couldn't get no help because my grandpa broke his back out logging wood. And
he
died of a stroke. But the drugs are in our communities too. Are the drugs?
Okay, Arthur, you're not listening. It's okay. So what I'm going to do, Arthur, I'm going to take down your number. You know, I know people broke their back and things goes on in your community and all that. But I apologize. I must move the conversation along. All right. But I do have your number. And I will be mindful of who you send the video to. All right. Not to offend in word, because that's not our intentions at all. Okay, Arthur, I'm going to place you on hold. All right, we have Calvin has a comment, 920 area code.
Hello, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good. I'm Judah. I'm happy about that.
Okay, you blessed by the best. Let's go.
Okay, I got two issues I want to tell you about. One of them is I wish you guys would get a app that I can get your own things on. I would love that.
Okay, let me write this down. The Gathering of Christ Church needs an app.
Yep, you need an app. You definitely need an app because you know what? To access your old stuff, it's hard to. I know you have a way of doing it now on a different thing other than YouTube, but it'd be easier to access it on an app. Second of all, I have a cousin who has a doctorate. And I like you to contact him of, you know, like Dr. King. He's got one of those doctors in theology. And he's out in Virginia. And, you know, we're going to have to turn him around just a little bit, you know. And my last issue is...
I'm saying, have the brother with the doctorate, have you seen our videos?
I will be seeing him this weekend because we're going to go to the same funeral, so...
Okay.
I'm going to try to get them to get to your videos and stuff like that. So, and just like the other callers, I've been listening to you for a long time, so I really appreciate your who you are. And I wanted to tell you, I'm in that place called Kenosha. And when you get them on, when you start seeing your schools all over the place, start right here in Kenosha.
Okay. Where are you from again?
Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, all the stuff that went on this, last summer?
Yeah.
With Kyle Rittenhouse and stuff?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so you need a church there. You were saying that you had to be baptized once you come into this truth. Well, I've been baptized twice, and I'm still trying to get it right. But I do have some pretty good knowledge, so I just want you to... I'm going to have to figure that whole getting baptized where there ain't no place to get baptized. I'm one of those, what do you call, one of those internet learners.
Okay, it's no problem because regionally we can set up a baptism for you. We're already working on that now so that you'll be attending a church within that region who can schedule the baptism for you. So we'll be working on that.
And you guys are going to be out on the streets, you said?
I beg your pardon?
You did say that you guys are going to be all over the streets, right? I mean, meaning that you're going to be opening up, you're going to have people out here teaching, and I would like to be part of that. I got to get into your academy, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, to get in that academy, I have your number. I'm going to call you about your cousin, and we're going to schedule a baptism and let you know the future for congregating with the church, even though we're not in your particular area. There's a lot of
things. I know that. I know you ain't here, but you got to hurry up and get here.
Brother, I'm coming. Don't worry about it. All right?
I'm going to yield and let you do what you got to do, and get in contact with me, please.
Thank you. I appreciate you, my brother. All right. Okay, we have Cora. Cora has a comment.
Okay. So, Elder, I
want to let everybody know what the church failed to tell me.
Okay.
Okay, I've been in the church since 2013 when a former co-worker sent me a video the 12 Lost Tribes found. But just before that, I was still, you know, I'm pretty much in the Christian church. But, you know, those Christian churches, they don't talk about demons and spirituality and everything. I learned about the spiritual world when the same co-worker had books, and then she let me read her book called He Came to Set the Captives Free. It was about a Midwest doctor who was bringing a woman out of witchcraft, and she described in the book her experiences, her supernatural experiences she had. And then after reading that, I read a book called Pig in the Parlor about this one man who was doing deliverance of people. And so I had kind of, you know, gotten about the spiritual world. Well, my youngest daughter had a son, and he had this such a bad temper. He was getting in trouble, getting expelled from school all the time, and she was kind of running out of schools to put him in, to enroll him in. So I decided to call this one friend and a former neighbor, who was a Baptist minister, to talk to him about, you know, handling, how to handle, you know, I recognized that these were demons, a demon of anger that in the child there. And so I kind of called him for some spiritual guidance. Well,
okay.
I was talking to him, and he just kind of hem-hawed around and never gave me any clear directions or anything. Well, you just have to pray and do blah, this and that. So after the end of the conversation, I came away with still nothing, no information that I could really use. And then my grandson's mother was also a friend of his stepdaughter's. And so this has got back to me that I was really off the chain. Yeah, my daughter told me, said, yeah, Mr. Martin, Reverend Martin said, your mama is really off the chain. And so I'm like, he thinks I'm off the chain for even bringing up the subject of this. And I'm like, oh, well. I said, well, he's a Baptist minister, and mostly Baptist ministers, they don't bother going to seminaries. They don't, they just get up and start preaching. I said, well, I just have to put that out. I said, you know, the Christian church, they don't teach you anything about spirituality. They don't even discuss demons or anything like that. You say that to somebody else, they talk about, oh, I don't believe in demons, you know. So that's where I was, you know. That's what I feel. That's where the Christian church failed me.
Okay. Well, I think we have a Christian pastor who have their hand raised. So I'm gonna place you on hold. I'll
okay,
see you there too, Sunshine. Let's hear what he has to say. I think a Pastor Mike is here. Where is he? Hey, Pastor Mike, if you have an area code for your phone, please let us know your area code in the chat so I can bring you right in, okay? All right. We're going to see if we can find Pastor Mike. 770 area code. I don't know if this is he. Yes, hello. 770 with your hand raised.
Hello?
Is this Pastor Mike? Okay, I'm going to go back to 770. Let's go to 315. Hello.
Hey, Shalom, Elder.
Okay, this is not Pastor Mike, right?
No, sir.
Okay, hold tight. I'm going to take one other and see if he's on. If not, then I'll bring you in. 302 area code. Is this Pastor Mike?
Shalom, Elder. No, this is not Pastor Mike, fortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to bring you back. Hey, I seen the hands raised. So I'm going to try one more. If not, then we're just going to go down the line and let you all say what you have to say. I wanted to give the pastors an opportunity. 757 area code. You're live.
Shalom, Elder. I'm not a pastor, but I'm not Pastor Mike, but if
you have 1 minute, expound whatever you would like.
Okay. So pertaining to the topic about Christianity is alive.
Do me a favor.
I do wanna
cut off the stream in the back so I can hear. Okay. When I bring the call in, please, you have to cut off the. You have to cut me off in the background. It makes for bad broadcasting. Come on.
Yes, Elder. So as far as me coming into in tune with Jesus Christ or Yeshaya, I was raised from a Baptist church. Through a friend of mine, her mother was a minister, and every Sunday, you know, we would go. But she ended up giving me a Holy Bible. And since I've been following you guys, I've of course been using it as a tool. But one thing I can reflect back on as far as my time going to churches, yeah, they really don't expound as far as the verses or the precepts that they do speak about during their sermons. They really don't speak about as far as the spirituality realm. They mostly focus on, I guess, monitoring as far as their day-to-day living, so to speak. So to kind of put it all in a nutshell, Christianity and like other religions, institutes, they're like how Elder Laurier had mentioned once before in one of his prior videos or prior podcasts, as far as speaking about how religion, it brings good and evil instead of the truth. And it's so crazy because it's like I had the Bible for so long, for many years now, but as far as how I was going about it, it was of good and evil, not of the truth. So with that, just want to say thank you to you and all the other elders as far as being able to expound on a deeper concept, correct concept towards the truth.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, my brother. Thanks for calling. 614 area code. Shalom. Uh, 614 area code, you're live. Okay, we're digressing into digression here. Sunshine, you got 1 minute. Shoot.
Hi, Elder. Hi. Shalom.
Let's go.
Okay, bless you, Elder. Okay.
You think you can wrap this up in 1 minute?
Okay. Elders, just a lot of them, what the callers were saying, just hit home with me. I remember when I was 9, I would always have like Cesar Borgia whirling in my head, and then I would have dreams of like Cesar Borgia, but every time I did, it was always very scary. And then one time I had a dream of a black man with an afro, and I was calm in the dream when I was 9. I remember that. But I just wanted to say that everything from the times past to now is revealed and all is seen directly. You know, the it's all lining up with the prophecies of the Bible to such a degree that those who would say brave words in denying the living word are now often offended or no longer as bold to speak. But they now whisper the poisons, like someone else was mentioning, and or they'll just ignore the truth of the word and just be conceited because they don't want to face the actions that are leading to the impending judgment that's prophesied. And meanwhile, they also absolve themselves by spouting lies and exposing the truth in a lesser magic like you've spoken about. and we just would study to show ourselves approved. Otherwise, they'll feel that our destruction is our fault and the blood is off of their hands. And so Christ said, like you said, many shall come and then deceive many. And those who follow Christ in sincerity, you know, according to the word, they know the difference between him and what he's saying and Christendom and what is accepted in this worldwide acceptance today. And by grace, our eyes are open and the scriptures are clearer and clearer because we have the armor, you know, of the Most High, you know, studying the word. So that replacement theology of Christendom is against the lost sheep, the promised seed, which is Israel, which who we are, and it can no longer stick because the peddling of doctrines is showing the nakedness, and that nakedness is an operation of the double tongue, which is just that yay, nay, hot, cold, everything goes, and it certainly evidence, you know. And so I just want to say that the trickeries of the past are not holding up anymore, and all the false doctrines are not holding up anymore in the routines that that the deceivers are constantly peddling and into our homes. And by grace of the Most High, you know, through what we're receiving from Ahiah, those who are interested in being the meek to inherit the kingdom and through baptism, these are the ones who are continually opening up to study and to strengthen regardless of the confusion of the masses. And
exactly. I got to go to the next call, Chin Chan.
Oh, praise the Most High. Bless you.
All right.
Bless you.
All right, we're going to try one shot in the dark. Very good. She always come with copious notes, and it's well appreciated. So she's been waiting so long, there's no way I'm going to ignore her, you know, and not allow her to, you know, because she really take good notes. And and she's able to quantify the whole broadcast. But I'm sorry, we had 11 o'clock here almost. 252 area code, and I'm glad Sunshine is on our side. 252 area code, I hope this is Pastor Mike. Is this Pastor Mike? There is no 225 waiting. There is no 225 waiting in the queue. Okay. With that, I'm going to end the blog talk real quick. And Pastor Mike, this is what I'll do. This is what I'll do for Pastor Mike, because I know you're out there.